Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here on this Wednesday afternoon. It is 12:09. Welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch. Have you heard of Peach? I hadn't either, but Scott Kleinberg writes about social media for the Chicago Tribune. He says Peach is the hot new thing when it comes to social media. He'll be along a little bit later to talk about that and about driverless cars. You know, Tesla was involved, but Google's apparently working on one, and they're calling out Apple as well. Apparently, Apple's hired like 1,000 engineers, and they think that's to work on a driverless car. So we'll check in with Scott about that. I told you earlier about Brian Patrick Burney writes for Vocative, and he's looked over some of the numbers when it comes to tonight's Powerball drawing. We'll kick that around. Terry Savage is with us on most Tuesdays, but unfortunately, Terry has pledged not to come into the studio until the Dow is in positive territory for the year.
For the year? Oh, I don't want to wait that long.
And I'm afraid I might not see her until 2017.
Hey, isn't this I think today that the interest in the Powerball outnumbers the interest in the stock market by about 10 to 1. In fact, if you go to Terry, did you see at terrysavage.com? I posted a notice right at the top of the homepage. It says, attention, billion-dollar lottery winners. Don't claim that prize without consulting an attorney and accountant to properly title your winnings. Talk about that. And by the way, and this was triggered by a bunch of questions on my Ask Terry blog. It says, and to all those who posted on my blog about how they would invest the winnings, here's some advice. Don't count your chickens before they hatch.
Oh, count them. That's all it's about, Terry. It's only about counting.
It's a cheap dream. You know what? It's cheaper than a movie, which takes you away for an hour and a half or something like that to dreamland. Here you can spend a couple of dollars and dream on for two or three days about what you would do with all that money, even after taxes.
I have had so much fun just fantasizing about what I would do with the money. But I've been reading about it, too, and I'm glad you brought it up. I have a question I think maybe you could answer. One of the things they were talking about, and we're going to talk to Patrick about this a little bit later, Brian, I should say. But, you know, there's a big tax hit that comes, and it's a fair tax hit. There's a tax rate, blah, blah, blah. But one of the things I read was, you know, in my fantasy world, Terry, the first thing I'm going to do is, you know, sit down with my wife. We're going to come up with 100 people and give them each $1 million. You know, you change the world like that. 100 friends,
okay,
family.
Then you're subject not only to income taxes, but to the uniform estate and gift tax.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. So I knew that if you received a gift, that you could be liable for taxes. But if you give...
No. You can receive any gift and not be liable for taxes. It's the giver of the gift in your lifetime. I hope this is everybody's problem.
Okay, so wait. So if I give you $1 million, you owe nothing on that million, but I...
No, not exactly. But you have, let's just say you're Mr. Rich Person, either because, you know, you're giving it to a foundation. That's a different story. But to individuals and so forth, if you give away gifts in your lifetime, you have an allowable 5.25, maybe it's 5.35 this year. I can't quite remember.
Yeah, I was reading
5.4. Is a gift tax limit. And at your death and all of the gifts above currently $14,000 a year. Now, you could give $14,000 a year to 1 million people, and that wouldn't count because you've given everybody for an annual. You can have an unlimited $14,000 a year giveaway. So you give it to your children, each of your children, and to the postman and to, you know, everybody in your office. If you have all this money to give away, as long as you stay $14,000 or under, you're allowed to give that away every year. And that doesn't count toward this combined estate and gift tax credit.
So you're saying...
when you die and they say, well, you gave away $100 million and you've left an estate of $300 million, everything... above $395 million is going to be subject to the federal estate taxes, which go very quickly up over the 50% level.
So my wife and I are going to sit around and we can only give $1 million to 5.3 people?
Or you can give $14,000 to a lot of people. The seriousness of this is because I posted this just in case somebody won a lot of money.
Oh, somebody's going to.
Before you go claim your lotto ticket, you want to think carefully. Let's suppose you're a 75-year-old man and you have grandchildren that you really would like to pay for their college and a few other things. You want to go to an attorney first and set up some kind of a family partnership, some kind of arrangement that will minimize the taxes because you don't want to die with $500 million in your name, because the government first is going to take the first $500 million in income taxes. You don't want them to take a half of whatever's left. And that's why rich people have estate planning attorneys and accountants to work on issues like this. But I could just picture someone, and it's not likely, I'll tell you in a minute why it's not likely to be one person, but it's likely that that person goes, yeah, I did it, I won. And you want to set up some kind of a partnership or a family trust, a holding company, so to speak, so that you can minimize the taxes, not just the income taxes, that they'll take out, but the gift and estate taxes that come when you decide what to do with it. And by the way, very long odds, by the way, now, of you being the sole winner. We haven't talked about this.
Yeah, but I'll share.
Billion-dollar lottery win as well. There's an interesting article that I found that says, on Wednesday, there were 440,000 tickets sold. That meant, according to these calculations, there were only 22% chance of being a sole winner. Now, for this coming drawing, this was a week ago, you can be sure that there are probably almost double that amount.
Yeah, I think
so.
I think I saw, Terry, that they think that about 80% of the possible number combinations will be in play tonight.
But that's not the critical point, because your odds, if you have one ticket, are still in 1 in 292 point something million. But the fact that so many tickets are sold diminishes your odds of being a sole, unique, alone winner, meaning you will have to split that. So whether it's two or three or four ways. But once you get a lot of other people buying tickets, your odds of being a sole winner diminish.
Yeah, well, I think it's amazing that if everyone in the world is playing, and it feels like that, that there still are 20% of the possible number combinations that won't be in play tonight. That's pretty amazing. That just shows you that 292 million is a big number.
It sure does, and that's how you get the rollovers, and God forbid there's another rollover, because we could solve our national debt problem.
Look, the only way I win, well, pretty much, is if there is another rollover and I can dream until Saturday. Let's go back, though, to the $5.4 million. So this gift tax.
Let me look at that up for you. But
well, let's say five and change. Okay. And that's over a lifetime. Did you say that, or a year?
Well, yes. That's your lifetime combined estate and gift tax exclusion.
And so that means, so it's really all about the estate tax then we're talking about, what the Republicans call the death tax.
Exactly. Let me just, I'm going to find it for you right here. The estate tax exemption and gift tax limits combined for 2016.
That's really bad news for 94 of my friends, because they were going to get $1 million.
Well, I'm serious. You know, you talk about not the 1%, but the 0.1%. The exemption is $5.45 million per individual for 2016, up from $5.43. So that means, quote, an individual can leave $5.45 million to heirs and pay no federal estate or gift tax. A married couple, don't forget, could shield $10.9 million. However, the fact is that it combines all the gifts you also make during your life above that $14,000 annual.
But you know what? I guess maybe it's almost a wash, because if I'm giving that $1 million to you, that's going to put you into the highest tax bracket, and your income tax rate would be 39%. So the number, and you wouldn't have to pay taxes on that gift. So it's really the same 40%. It's just on the other end of the gift.
No. You're going to get the money after taxes.
Sure.
You know that they're going to withhold. You're not going to get a choice. If you take the lump sum, they're withholding the taxes. Then, if you died the next day, your estate would be however many hundreds of millions. The estate tax would apply.
Sure. No, I'm talking about the $1 million I'm going to give you, and we got to take a break here.
Okay, everybody, dream on. Could we get back in the next break? I'm going to show you how to get real free money that you can actually get in your hand and apply for very short odds. So that means people should stay tuned for this, because away from the lottery, I've got a sure thing for you.
I know, but the numbers aren't as big, Terry.
Yeah, but every little bit helps.
We'll take a break. I'll get back to Terry Savage in just a sec. Let's look at the traffic hotspots. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. It is 12:21 on this Wednesday afternoon. Terry Savage is with us by phone today. You know, Terry, I want to talk scholarships. Terry wrote a great column today at terrysavage.com about college scholarships. But very quickly, we got a lot of text questions from our lottery discussion, and one that I think applies generally. How do you find a reputable tax advisor or accountant? I mean, I know with Lou Manfredini, there are a lot of boards that recommend construction guys. How do you find an accountant or an advisor you can believe in?
You know, when you get to have that problem, it's going to be real easy to find one because you'll call Jamie Dimon at Chase.
Well, no, okay, yeah,
and you'll say, I just want $500 million.
Okay, but short of that, need to find one.
Okay, or you can email me, Terry at terrysavage.com. I think what you're going to do is go to one of the large, in all seriousness, one of the larger law firms in Chicago. And talk and call. I mean, I'm very serious about this, and talk to them. One of the large accounting firms, you'll deal with a managing partner of whatever the four big major accounting firms, and you will deal with them. You will, whatever city you live in. Don't forget, we're thinking everybody in Chicago is buying these, so I can name you the
right.
names.
No.
Of,
yeah,
of
and
Chicago,
I'm thinking,
but New York and California, you will go to the managing partner of Ernst & Young or something like that. And you will call and say, no joke, I really just won the lottery. I need some help. And believe me, you'll be taken to the head managing partner of the whole Western or Eastern or Northern division of one of these big four accounting firms. And they will say, don't do anything. We'll bring in our top tax attorneys. And then they'll sit down with you. How old are you? Are you married? What about your children? Who do you really want to benefit from that kind of a thing?
And is that Jamie Dimon on the phone there?
That's Jamie Dimon.
All right,
yes,
so I want to keep going here because we're running out of time. And we'll talk about in general. I think people were talking about more just lower income in general, how to find a good advisor. But let's talk scholarships because you got a great piece here about all this money that's available for college scholarships, and a lot of it ends up going unclaimed.
Billions of dollars. Here we're all falling all over ourselves. That was the whole point of this column.
Right.
We're falling all over ourselves about the fact that we're trying to get this free money, which will be $500 million and nothing to sneeze at. But in the column I just posted, it's ironic that according to scholarships.com, nearly $2.9 billion in scholarships and grants went unused last year, probably because people didn't know the money was available. That includes Pell Grants, so that's a lot of federal money. It's a big component of that. But there are also a bunch of scholarships offered by unusual groups. And the qualifications are really strange. I mean, it might be because your parents were members of the Lions or the Rotary. It may be because they work for a corporation, or it could be as unusual as having a strange last name.
A strange last name? How does that work?
Somebody named Zolp. This is true, Z-O-L-P. So if you're out there, set up a scholarship years ago, and if your name is Zolp, you could possibly get it. There are also members of the Germans from Russia Heritage Society. One of my favorites, and I've done this story over the years, is things that kids do while they're in college. So the weird things are kids make their prom dresses out of duct tape. Believe it or not, that gets you a 3M scholarship. But how about if your son or daughter caddies? There's the Chick Evans Golf Scholarship. 910 awards made last year to caddies, golf caddies, and so
yeah,
if you want to drive.
I know some Chick Evans scholars. I do. That's a great program.
Exactly. So all of those are scholarships that are available, and I would have three words of advice. Number one, you want to search them out, and the two great places to do that, they're all in this article up now at terrysavage.com, so you don't have to stop your car and write it down. But obviously scholarships.com and another site called fastweb.com. You have to start early. You should be doing this right now if you're looking for a scholarship for next year. Many of them have January 31st deadlines. You can register at these sites that I mentioned. They even have free apps. Talk to your high school guidance office. Remember that in scholarships, diversity is rewarded.
Right. So
besides athletic and educational, they do give scholarships based on race and religion and so forth. So that's allowed.
I was going to say, this is one of those areas where, you know, if you apply for a job, you can't check that box or ask that question. But when it comes to applying for a scholarship, you know, if you are in a minority or a left-handed chess player from Samoa, all that stuff works for you.
All that stuff works for you. So when you go online, don't be afraid at scholarships.com or fastweb.com. fill out the questionnaire. Yeah, they want your name, and they'll start mailing you stuff about credit cards for college kids and you know, home away dorm plans and so forth, and where to buy your sheets and bedding for college. But you register there. It's free. And you fill out all these things that you can think of that might be quirky things. And finally, one last thing I want to say. If you have high school kids, now is the time to look at these websites, because many of them reward kind of a history of things your kid did in high school, whether it was charitable or working with children or working with the environment. There are many of these scholarships that are given out based on your history of contributing or working or doing something unusual during your high school years. Some of them require essays. But there's a lot of free money out there, and now's the time to look for it.
Terry Savage, you can read more at terrysavage.com. Thanks very much, and well, hopefully we'll get the Dow into positive territory, and I'll see you one day
see
in the future.
Week.
All right,
okay.
See you next week. Bye-bye. You're listening to The Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Scott Kleinberg is in his studio as well. I told you before, Scott writes about social media for the Chicago Tribune. Scott, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Steve.
And I was speaking earlier about your enthusiasm, and I hope people are watching at WGNradio.com, because you walked into the studio, said, "I'm really jazzed about this night shift thing," and your face just lit up. So Apple is working on a night shift, sort of a night detector, to where it's, as I understand it, so where its screen image would change to help you go to sleep.
Yes, the background lighting of the screen will change based on the lighting that you're in and the time of day. So the way it looks, like, it's not out yet, it's momentarily, but the way it looks in all the beta forms is it's a setting that says automatically at sunset change the warmth of the screen. So the warmth, like now a normal screen is like blue, and it'll be more warmth, more orange and amber lights.
So it'll be a little, I mean, duller.
It'll be duller, and it'll be better for your eyes.
I mean, the marketer people would say warmer, but it'll be
yes.
A little, right?
Yes.
And because the idea is the blue screen keeps you up at night?
Yeah, there have been all kinds of studies that basically say when you sit in the dark with your screen on, your iPad, your iPhone, whatever, you are wreaking havoc with your rhythm, with everything, and I know I feel that all the time.
You do?
I do. I go to bed, and I sit there for an hour, and I catch up on my email, and then I cannot sleep. And I know it's that. I never had those kind of problems before I started doing that.
So you might stop looking at your email right before you go to bed.
No, I might make sure that the night shift mode is on and ready.
That's so funny. All right, so we'll look for that, the night shift coming. And this is, will this be widely available to us, or it's a new operating system, which I guess we just upgrade, right?
It's just an update to the current system. So it's iOS 9. It'll be iOS 9.3. So if you already have that installed, you just hit the button to update it.
And I'm sure we can opt out of it.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to do it. And you could turn the setting off if you want to, even if you download the software. So you certainly don't have to have it.
All right. We'll do that. Peach, you're writing about, says the Chicago Tribune is testing the waters with Peach.
Yeah.
And it's the hot new thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was thinking of it because I actually was thinking of this not too long ago. I got Facebook down, and then Twitter comes along, and I,
right.
you know, feel pretty comfortable on Twitter. And then Instagram comes along, and,
right.
you know, now here's Peach. And, you know, when the written word started, they had hardcover. And then after,
yes.
a few centuries, they had softcover.
Yes.
And then that kind of was the way it stayed for a really long time.
That's true.
And if you were to follow along and read, you know, that's pretty much how you had to get used to. You had to get used to a softcover book.
Yes.
Now there's really no keeping up. I mean, it's almost.
No, that's true.
And I wonder about that. I wonder if people jump on board, if it's like a conveyor belt, and you just stay with what you jumped on with, you know? So,
oh, that's absolutely true.
So people who started with Facebook are going to stay with Facebook.
Yes. And it's funny that you mentioned that, because in the So Social column that I'm working on for next time, it's, getting used to what you're used to and trying new things and not being left behind.
Right.
So in the case of something like this, you know, there is nothing that says that this app will be around next week. You know, it's like apps come and go all the time. But sometimes an app lands and everybody gets really excited about it. And you feel like you have to get on board and see what all the fuss is about.
I want to talk to you about that, but let's just go. So for me, that's sort of Instagram. You know, I mean,
sure.
Everyone's on Instagram, and it seems as if, you know, it might be threatening Twitter in some ways.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just not on that. I didn't jump on that conveyor belt, and I'm not ready to toss everything I've gotten used to everywhere else and get on Instagram, which means that's how people get left behind.
That's exactly how people get left behind. I got a message from somebody this morning because I said in a column that texting is so yesterday that people don't text anymore. And he's like, texting is the greatest thing in the world and I'll never change. And I'm thinking until the day that there's no more texting and you have to have something else.
And what's the something else? Messenger or things like that?
Messenger or one of these things. Peach is in that realm.
All right,
it's
tell
a
me
messenger
about Peach.
It's a messenger type app, but it has these mixtures of things in it that make it unique. Like, for example, if you type in the word time, it automatically fetches the time from the internet. If you type in the word weather, it fetches the temperature. You can type in these different magic words, they call it, and then you can use that and add things to your post. So it's unique in that way, and it's different in that way. So when we heard about it last week, I just wanted to jump in from the standpoint of, you know, being a media publisher, seeing what it's like to be on this thing. And I found that we can tell our stories in a very fun and unique way with animated GIFs.
Give me an example.
So we did something earlier about there's a story online now. It says that Chicago is number one for bed bugs again. So instead of posting this stock photo that we have of bed bugs in a hotel, which I just can't stand looking at after a while, I found this animated GIF of somebody holding up their hand in front of their face and saying, ew. And I posted that with the link to the story in like four words. And it's just such a very different way to interact with an audience. The audience is small now because they're only like you know, few thousand people,
sure.
But we have like 250 followers already, and that seems small, and it is small, but if it grows and we're in on the ground floor, that's a good place.
Well, I was going to say too, if it grows and you're there very early on, you're going to get many more followers than you would if you jumped on
exactly
when I do about 3 years from now.
Exactly right.
All right, so that is Peach, and is it it's an app?
It is an app. It is just for iPhone right now, and whether or not they expand it, I'm sure that's probably in their plan, but they're starting with iPhone for
now. Since we're talking about Apple a little bit, there's a lot of talk that Apple is trying to come up with a driverless car of its own, right?
A driverless car or a car, but it, yeah.
So we have Elon Musk with the driverless car.
Oh, yeah.
We've got Google working on one,
right? Oh, yeah.
We've got Apple now.
Yep. Seems like everybody is working on a driverless car.
But it's interesting, isn't it, that they're not car companies, really? I mean, Elon Musk is, but...
Right. No, they're not. And I think they realize that it's not necessarily about, like for Apple, I don't think it's about having a car. I think it's about having an ecosystem where everything that they own can be put in something that they have. So they have CarPlay, which is in cars now, which is like an iPhone or an iPad for your car. If they can combine that with the actual machinery, you know, it's like always everything Apple all the time.
So cars, I mean, I just bought a new Ford this year and I didn't buy it for the acceleration or for the braking,
right.
You know. Cars are becoming less and less about cars.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I bought it for the computer system and, you know, I wanted the navigation because I had a very old car.
It's amazing because, you know, I remember when, you know, when you had a fancy car stereo and you had 5-disc CD changer and that
right.
was a big deal.
Right.
And now, you know, it's exactly that. It's the computer. It's the Bluetooth. It's what your car can do for you. And eventually, to get back to what we were talking about in the beginning, a car where you basically press a button, it comes to pick you up and you read on the way to work.
One of my early cars, I mean, I think I've only had three or four in my life, four maybe, but one of them, I had the 10-disc CD changer.
That's fancy.
Installed because I bought it before CDs. So they had it and it was a little thing they put it. I had to go to my trunk to put the CDs in the changer.
Oh, the trunk changer. I forgot about those. Wow.
Back in the day, my friend.
That is fancy.
All right. What's this driving mode with Google?
So this is a combination of awesome and scary. This is Google Maps. Google's working on something for the Android version right now saying Google Maps knows where you've been based on your history in your app. Google's going to attempt to guess where you're going when you program Google Maps when you go driving somewhere based on your previous experiences. So if you constantly go to the shopping mall 3 miles away and you get in your car and you start driving that way, Google Maps might say, hey, it looks like you might be going to this mall. Would you like me to program your route for you?
Right.
So that's a little scary. I kind of don't want Google's voice coming on and telling me that it thinks it knows where I might be going right now.
Well, what's weird to that for me is that, you know, if I don't need Google to tell me somewhere where I go all the time.
Right.
Right. So
right.
If it works only because I've driven to the mall 10 times in the past month.
Right.
I know how to get to the mall.
Right, exactly. But there are a lot of people out there. I'm not one of those people, but there are a lot of people out there who will not go anywhere without setting up their GPS. I have friends who have been places hundreds of times, will not leave the driveway until the GPS is
really?
Set up. Yeah. And it's a scary thing. It's like, what are you doing with that thing? You know where you're going. Oh, GPS has to be on.
It's like a whole new dependency.
It's a dependency in a very, very weird way.
Which gets me back to you in bed reading your email before you go to bed.
I'm not changing it.
I want you
soon.
To put that away a little bit early.
I'm tempted, but I'm probably not going to be able to. I'm just hooked.
Scott Kleinberg writes for the Chicago Tribune. Check him out, chicagotribune.com, all about social media. Scott, we'll see you again soon.
Sounds good, Steve.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. It is 12:51. You're listening to the Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. We're talking a lot today about the Powerball drawing. Yesterday, they estimate $326.5 million was spent on the Powerball. Today, more than $600 million expected to be spent. Those are big numbers. Brian Patrick Byrne writes for Vocative.com, and he looks at numbers all the time, joins us on a phone line now. Brian, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, so, you know, we talk about these numbers and we're all pretending and imagining what we're going to do if we win. But, Brian Patrick, there are going to be winners here, and a lot of them are, I guess, well, they're bean counters for the government, right? The government's going to win either way.
Sure. So Powerball advertises that the jackpot is $1.5 billion, but the cash value is $930 million. So it's slightly smaller than what's being advertised. So there's two options if you win. You can pick the cash lump sum or the annuity. If you pick the annuity, which is 30 incremental payments over 30 years, which increase by 4% each year, you'll theoretically receive the full $1.5 billion. And that's because when you pick the annuity, Powerball, which is a non-profit government benefit organization, invests in government securities, which should generate enough money over 30 years to pay you the entire jackpot. That's an average of about $50 million a year. But if you don't take the annuity, Powerball can't invest the money, so they just give you all the money they would have invested otherwise.
Yeah, which makes some sense, I guess. But if you die while you're still owed annuity checks, does the government keep that money too?
If you die, your state gets the money. But here's where it gets pretty interesting. So taxes are a huge part of this. So first of all, federal taxes, that's the biggest chunk that the government will take from you if you win. You're going to pay a lot of taxes on your winnings. let's talk in terms of the lump sum, because that's the option that sure. Every single Powerball winner took last year. If you win tonight and you take the lump sum, you'll get $930 million, not $1.5 billion. Except you won't really, because lottery winnings are taxed as income. So straight away, before you even get your hands on the money, Powerball needs to shave off the federal tax withholding, which is 25%. That leaves you with $697.5 million. Because you've won so much, that puts you in the top federal tax bracket of 39.6%, which means you'll actually owe the federal government another 14.6%. That's 39.6% minus the 25% Powerball initially took when you pay your taxes on April 18th to the IRS.
Right, so the idea is that, you know, you think, well, if I take the lump sum, they're taking the taxes out. Well, not really. They're kind of taking the taxes out at the... Well, I want to say at the payroll level, you're going to be taxed at a higher rate. So there's still that sort of a donut hole
exactly.
of more taxes you're going to owe. Now, I've been reading, and this is hard for me to imagine, but I've been reading that gap has led to bankruptcies for a lot of big lottery winners because they didn't recognize they owed that tax. Now, you'd think they'd be
sure.
getting advice from people who would tell them that they did owe it.
The experts do say if you win the lottery, before you even claim your winnings, you should find some financial experts to advise you because it's quite complicated.
Right. Well, that's why I've got you, Brian Patrick, so you can advise me when I win, correct?
Sure. Well, what I would do is I would, I guess listen to what I'm saying here, I guess. And while, you know, these tax withholdings, that's taken from your jackpot before you even get it. But after you get that money, you're not done paying taxes. And here's what you need to know. So after that, the government takes the 25%. Come April 18th, the income tax filing deadline, you still have to pay the rest of the federal I guess, taxes, which is a remainder of 14.6%, which, you know, numbers aside, that would leave you with $561 million, which is about a third of what Powerball is advertising.
Right, but if I get that money, I can still afford to pay you handsomely to advise me when it comes to my winnings.
Exactly. And that's just the federal taxes. We haven't even talked about state taxes.
Right, there are, what, 10 or 11 states that don't tax lottery winnings?
10 states don't.
Yeah, well, we're in Illinois, and Illinois is not one of those 10, I'll tell you that. You also wrote about statistics when it comes to last year's winner, and we just have a minute or two left, so I want to touch on that while we can. Is there anything that we can discern from that? I mean, they all took the lump sum, as you said earlier. It looks like half men, half women.
I mean, we looked at the stats for all the winners last year. I mean, most of the winners were individuals, and there was kind of a good mix of older, I guess it was mostly older people and mostly individuals. I mean, I guess if you're going to play the Powerball, if you win, you'll win more if you're an individual, so it kind of makes sense. But in terms of taking the lump sum of the annuity, I think I'd personally take the lump sum because the experts do claim that if you take the lump sum and you invest it yourself, and wisely, of course, chances are you'll end up with more money than if the government invested it for you. But of course, you know, you're in Illinois, you're still going to pay state taxes.
Well, those same experts, though, say that the annuity, or other experts, I should say that the annuity is a great guard against stupidity.
So, well, that's the main caveat, isn't it, Steve? Just don't be smart about it.
For example, Brian Patrick Byrne, I was going to pay you $300 million to manage my money. If I've only got $35 million at a time, I'm going to be protected against that mistake.
That's very true, Steve.
Brian Patrick. I got to ask you now, what part of Ireland are you from?
I'm from Tipperary.
Tipperary, okay, very good. Well, I'm glad you found your way here to the States, and I'm glad you found your way to WGN to talk to us a little bit about this. I hope we can talk again.
Sure, thank you so much, Steve.
You bet. Brian Patrick Byrne, he's a reporter at Vocative. Have you checked out Vocative? You should. You're listening to The Business Lunch here on 720 WGN.